Welcome to the
Spoutcast, where we spout out the news.
She's been planning
those
that.
Who drink from the well. My name's Jane, and you just witnessed me interrupting Christian Warren, because that is the story of our lives.
Yeah.
Hey, Sarah, how's it going?
Pretty good, Jane.
Christian, how's
She's
it going
She's been planning
over there?
On that for like five
so
minutes
So between
straight.
The segment right there, Christian and Sarah are like, Jane, are you mad? Jane, are you mad? Because we were talking about how Christian interrupts, and I was just sitting here waiting for us to start so that I could overthrow the governor.
Here's the thing. I don't feel like I interrupt, and I'm telling Sarah this. I feel like I think your sentences are over.
Yeah, but or that if is I can be interrupting.
Let me be brutally honest.
Oh no.
I think it's your sentences are over, but then I really, if I could be honest, not with you, but it is. I think it's just in general. I think maybe I interrupt at the point where I think your sentence should be over.
So you think she's too wordy?
No, that's awful to say, but that's where my mind goes.
That's what you're saying.
We got a great show for you guys today.
We actually have our mega fan coming up. He and his wife.
Yeah, Danny and Debbie Pernice.
Just happened. I mean, I could have said that.
We'll be on the show today. And they are... they have a website that they designed that they're going to come and chat about. We're going to chat with them about how they got interested in the show. And
how he's a mega fan and all that. How
to
feel.
How to get involved in Hope Rises.
That's right. And their experience here at the well as well, because they got some fun stuff to say. We also, Sarah this week picked our music.
I did.
So it's the Civil Wars. Ooh. And Sarah's very excited about playing them. So
yeah, we've never had the Civil Wars before.
Right? Isn't that
weird.
So surprising?
Sarah and I sing the Civil Wars in our house all the time.
All the time.
We also will do a sermon discussion on Jared's sermon this past week on 1 Corinthians 9:20 and kind of on morally discerning as well. And then we will end the show with some announcements. So I will try not to interrupt you guys for the next 45 minutes. Okay. If I do, what's the bet?
Oh.
What's the deal? If I interrupt you from here on out,
you owe us Chipotle.
I'll do that. Shake on it.
Yep.
Okay. Ready, set, Civil Wars.
Most of us like to have these hard rules and like to put up these walls and say, never, 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 never in our castle, right? And Paul's saying, go out there. Go out there. Don't compromise. Don't sin, but go out there and in a sense, come to their level so that you can earn the right to speak into their life. Why? So that you can win them.
All right. That was a clip from Jared's message from this past Sunday in 1 Corinthians 9, chapter or verses 20 through 27. And this dealt with essentially the same concept of the last 2 weeks of just giving up your rights for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of other people. And this passage in particular talked a lot about, I guess from my perspective, and Jared mentioned it a couple times, like it's very a morally discerning message. It's
for sure.
We have to look at the things we do in our lives. And I've talked about my friend Johnny before. Mm-hmm. How much do I go into his lifestyle and his life to present the gospel and preach the gospel where I don't like begin to like live that lifestyle? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so that's the, he's basically saying in the passage, I can't remember all the different things, but he's like, if that person does this, then go and do that. But really Paul is just saying like, look, get into their lives, do what they're doing in their lives, but don't compromise your relationship with Christ for that. Makes sense? Yes.
And also don't compromise your reputation, not your reputation, but like the way you represent Christ to those people.
Right.
Because you can still have your relationship with Christ, but you might be making him look really bad.
Well, and it was basically too living your life so that your actions are to win them over for Christ, not to be a stumbling block.
Right. And you know, too. Yeah. And Jared brought up that, the idea of a dance, like a school dance
prom.
And he's prom. And he said that, you know, do you just not go to prom because it's not a Christian event and a bunch of people are going to be dancing? And the thing to not do would be to show up and just dance dirty like everybody else and say, well, I'm doing it because I'm trying to get involved in their world. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like, no, show up to the dance with a bunch of friends from church or whatever and dance in an appropriate way to songs. And it's like, that's a way to bring, and not necessarily glory, but that's a way to bring a different, I can't think of the word right now, but a different look at the event, a different way to look at the event.
Because he was saying like, instead of going out and dancing like that, dance in a way that is going to, like for the guy to dance in a way with the girl that is going to increase her reputation and
correct.
To serve her, to buy her dinner. So in that sense too, of like us living our lives to exemplify Christ instead of exemplifying ourselves.
Yeah. And Jared, you know, mentioned like, don't just avoid these things because like, oh, that's sinful over there. It's like, no, look at each situation and go, how can I glorify this situation for Christ? How can I think differently about this? And I think the dancing is a great example of that and how, and I've brought it up to students before where they go, well, we're going to do our own Christian dance at this person's house. And I go, why not go to that school mm-hmm. dance that, yes, there's going to be some very perverted dancing. There's also going to be a lot of perverted songs, but what a great way to be morally discerning and culturally engaged at the same time and come in and glorify this dance with your group of believers for Christ. Show up, pay for your dates, treat them like women and treat them respectfully, and then go on the dance floor and dance appropriately for the sake of Christ. You know what I mean?
I remember going to dances with like church groups, my church group growing up, and we would just dance stupid the whole time, just crazy with each other, like not perverted, whatever. Mm-hmm. But other people from school who weren't a part of our group would come join us. Like some girls or some kids that they didn't want to dance dirty, but that's the only option that they had. And then they'd see us like, oh, I'm going to go hang out with them because like that's a safer place. It was so almost allowed for more people to not dance dirty because they were able to come hang out with us, you know?
No, totally.
So there's that.
I gave a message a while ago and for the high schoolers about moral discernment. And I read it in a book a while back that there is this concept between, and Jane, you might remember this. There's a concept between a country dog and a city dog. Have you heard this before? It's the concept of like a country dog, you've given them all this freedom, this entire land. You give them a whole land where they can roam and they can run free as much as they want. But country dogs, they don't run away. They stay at home and they want every night they're going to roam that land, but they're going to come back home to their owner's house, mm-hmm. to their master's house. Whereas a city dog, their leash is so short and they're just all they're trying to do is get out of this house. They're trying to get out and they want to live this adventurous life. And we freak out when a dog runs away from the house because it's like, whoa, just burped. We just go, they're not coming back, like, because they're just going for it.
Yeah.
And so it's this concept of like, we have all this freedom in Christ, and yet as a follower of Christ and as someone who's morally discerning, because we have all that freedom, we know that there's going to be a loving father at the end of the day, like for us to return home to. Mm-hmm. And so it's this concept of, we don't need to take advantage of that. Mm-hmm. We don't need to run free. And we had our fun. We roamed around in some, you know, rose bushes, or we played in this field over here, but it's like, you know what? really at the end of the day, it's just, I just want to go back home to my master's house. Whereas a city dog is like, I just want to live free for the world. I just want to go out there and do all this crazy type of stuff. It's like, well, that's not moral discernment. That's just like living for the world instead of like living for Christ. Does that example make sense?
Yeah, I think there's a side of it too, where like, I mean, me, I grew up in a Christian home. Dad was a pastor.
Right.
All that stuff. So I never like went through a super rebellious phase, but I did have friends who grew up in the same sort of context that as soon as they got to college, it was like, woo, mom and dad are gone. I am going to live it up.
Totally.
So there's this thing of like, I don't know if they just saw it as like, there's too much, like too many rules around them where like mm-hmm. now they finally have an opportunity to just live their life for however they want. So I think there's a thing of it where people see Christianity as so many rules and not that freedom that we have
mm-hmm.
that they just focus on like, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't have sex before marriage. I can't get drunk. I can't
dance,
take drugs. I can't dance. I can't. But there's like, yes, you can. You just have to, well, not yes, you can to everything I just said, but like they look at everything as like in like a bad perspective instead of like, yeah, you can, you just have to do it this way, or you can, but you just have to think about this.
That's the difference between like when people, like that's why we have to be humbly submitted first before anything else. Because if we're humbly submitted to the Lord, then our hearts are going to want to obey, and then we're going to want to stay close to the house in the country city dog thing. But if we just try to be morally discerning without being submitted to the Lord first and foremost, then it is a bunch of rules, and we have no desire to obey. We have no desire to honor the Lord because He's not our Lord. You're just telling me what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, I think like what you're saying, that's totally the different, like, that's the difference between living under grace and living mm-hmm. under the law. Because mm-hmm. if we're just living under a bunch of rules, that's just behavior modification. It's not a heart change.
Mm-hmm.
But living under grace is a lot of, it's behavior, not behavior modification. I got really flustered right now because I realized Christian isn't interrupting me and I need him to like take over the sentence right now.
Oh, well, I have something I'm going to say.
Great, go for it.
Well, with your humble submission thing, you know, it's a, after humble submission, there's biblically formed. And one of the questions that I get from junior highers and high schoolers more than any other, I've at least been asked this 20, 25 times. They always ask a question, how far is too far?
Yeah.
And that question is in all contexts. It's how far is too far at a party? How far is too far with a girl? How far is too far?
Movies.
It's all the above. That question just comes in different forms. It's like, look, if we're submitted to the Father's will for our lives, if we're submitted to God in our lives, and we use the Bible as a way to form our thinking, and we're ultimately biblically formed men and women of God, then these morally discerning decisions in our lives will be very easy to make. We'll never ask that question, like, how far is too far? It's like, we won't even ask that because we know the Bible, we know Scripture, and we know that what's outside that door, what's after 18 years old and you leave your parents' house isn't good, it's not godly, and God gives us so much more grace than that. And so we need to live humbly submitted, biblically formed, to ultimately get to this place where we can be morally discerning and look at the decisions we make in our lives and go, yes, I can do that, or no, I shouldn't do that, you know? And I can do that because I can now be involved in the situation to now share the gospel. You know, it's I wish Kevin was here today, but it's the conversation Kevin's brought up a lot where it's like, is it okay for me to go to a bar and hang out and potentially have a great conversation with somebody and present the gospel? Or, and I feel like Paul is asking maybe not the bar question or maybe not the dancing question, but he's asking the same questions. Like, you should be involved in these things, but just remember, like, you have the freedom for everything, but it's maybe not beneficial for you. You know what I mean? And so think morally discernment about that and really decide, like, if you are going to present the gospel to this person, if you're going to invest in this person's life, make sure you're not living the same life as them. You're just going into their life. You're being a light in their life. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
So I was just trying to piggyback off, but I'm trying not to interrupt. So
I know. Okay.
Jane, did you have any other thoughts or?
Yeah, I wrote down some notes about, well, from last night. And one thing that really hit me is, do I see people as being worth, do I see people worth, as being worth of pursuing? That doesn't make sense.
Worth pursuit.
Do I see people as worthy of pursuing, there I guess go. You should say. And that kind of, that got me, because I feel like I can live a life that's pretty selfish, I guess, in some senses, of just like focusing on myself. And I mean, even in our like interrupting conversation of like, is that like, is when someone interrupts someone else, they are thinking of themselves to get their word in, you know, and not mm-hmm. thinking of the other person to let them finish or whatever. But like, in which aspects of my life do I just focus on myself and wanting to fill my cup or wanting to do me, so to speak? And like, it just trying to think through of like, what things do I need to change in order to think about someone else and their relationship with Christ? And hoping that I never get to a point where I am a hindrance to that, but I can be a help, or I could be an example, or yeah.
And like right around that same time he was talking about that, he said the word exercise in the last verse, like where you like discipline your body and you exercise, whatever, it is, that's where the same word agony comes from. Mm-hmm. And he's asking like, do you agonize yeah. over sharing the gospel with mm-hmm. people? And that was so convicting for me, because I thought, when was the last time I woke up and mm-hmm. I thought, oh, I get to talk to so-and-so today, yeah. or I get to, you know, share my life with someone, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't agonize over that. And so yeah. I was glad he talked about that.
Yeah. I wrote that down too. Do I agonize over lost people?
Yeah.
And like, who in my life is lost? I mean, that I actually have a relationship with. And we, like, we've talked about this before mm-hmm. of like, I work for a church and I am involved in a church and my friends go to my church and like, I live yeah. with people who I go to church with. And like, right. at what point do I communicate with somebody who's not a believer? I mean, I know like people on a Sunday come up and talk to me about it, but like, I, like to some point I pass them off to, when they get to a point and I can like pass them off to a life group leader, like that's what we do. So right. then that person then builds into them. But like, I don't know. It just gets me thinking.
Well, I think that, you know, I think there's church staff, and we've talked about this before, that, you know, we in some senses are trying to take care of the flock, you know what I mean? Yeah. And take care of the people, so then the ultimate body, the ultimate church, can now go and be the church. But we as a staff, we have to balance that, taking care of the flock, but also on the other side, like, we have to be the front runners. We have to be the ones who are being the example of that as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's this fine balance of, we want to equip the people within our church to be now the church. I mean, you guys saw the Serve Day video, or wasn't, I think it was Serve Day video. It's just like a God story video.
Did they not
with the couple that like have their neighbors that didn't talk to them. Did you guys see that video? Uh-huh. Oh, I thought I was at a different service or something. But one of their points was like, our neighbor was just like, I don't really want to talk to people. Yeah. I don't want to have a conversation with people. And that, based on Serve Day and the equipping of these people and God stirring in their hearts, they're able to now go and invest in their neighbors and in their neighborhood and the people. And so it's that fine balance of, we need to be people that are equipping our church, but on the other hand, and pushing them into life groups and life change. And on the other hand, we also need to be people who are living that out in our lives as well. So it that is the double-edged sword of working on a church staff too. So
for
and we've had that conversation before, but I feel that all the time. What is my role? Where do I go in this? And so, yeah, if you have any thoughts from this week's message, it was a good one, and we're going to be moving on past the rights and freedoms that you have into kind of a whole new realm of things. So continue to listen to 1 Corinthians and over the summer, and we will catch you up to speed here on the sermon discussion. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
Great.
Did I interrupt you guys?
Nope.
No.
All right. Up next, we got an interview with Danny and Debbie Pernice, if that's how you say it. Pernice. I should have asked them how they say it. Danny and Debbie. There we go. And their involvement with Hope Rises Africa, but also their love of the Spoutcast. Stay tuned for that and enjoy some more Civil Wars. Mm-hmm.
so far from me. In my arms is where you are to be.
How long will you make me wait? I don't know how much more I can take.
I missed you, but I haven't met you. Oh, but I want to.
All right, welcome back, and we've got an exciting next segment for you guys. Mm-hmm. And before I introduce our guests, not just one, but two, I want to read an email that I received this last week. And then right. I'm going to take up my beef with the guests that we have now on
what?
The show.
There's going to be beef?
So our friend Daniel, who he writes, but we call him Danny. That's okay. But your email comes across as Daniel.
Right, right.
He said, hey guys, episode 53, non-Christian, loved it.
Uh-huh.
I'm tired of this.
We recorded
love
that
it.
Episode and we thought, Danny's going to love this.
So
the
we've
girls
got,
are taking over.
We've got Danny and Debbie here in the studio. And Danny and Debbie, you just started listening to the Spoutcast recently, right?
Yeah, well, we're new to the well. We just moved to Fresno in November of last year.
Okay.
And we found the well in January. And got in a life group like the Tuesday after the first Sunday that we were there.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And the, I don't know, the leader or whatever kind of gave you guys a shout out.
Who was the leader?
Who was the leader?
Matt Roper.
He listens?
What?
Wow.
Does he listen?
Yeah.
Well, what? He must if he gave us a shout out.
Matt, prove it. Get on the show.
Wow, that's thank you.
Thanks
for listening.
And Debbie, you're a fan as well, correct? And have you guys been listening the same amount of time, or?
I'm probably more hardcore than she is. Yeah.
He's back listened to.
Oh yeah,
previous,
well, he mentioned that.
Right.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. I have my favorites. I do.
Ooh. Oh, okay. What's your number one episode?
I don't know, honestly.
Non-Christian?
No.
The one where he was out of town and me and Megan took over.
Yeah. No, I think you guys really step it up when he's not in there. So
we do,
I think,
yeah. Honestly, so, you know, our voices are heard a little bit more when Christian's not here.
He's holding you back.
Oh.
Debbie,
like
let me
that.
Speak to you because I like you. You have no say in this right now, but just, you know, I appreciate you guys both listening. Yes. And, you know, even though you like them better than me, Danny, I'll accept it because you're a fan of the show. So now I met you guys kind of randomly at Discovery, right?
Right.
Now, I feel like I'm not, you know, one to say like, you know, I don't believe in the kind of weird miracle things, but I feel like you guys sitting at my table was
a divine appointment.
A divine something or other, right?
It was meant to be.
Now, did you know when you sat down, like, hey, this is a Spoutcast guy?
No.
This is a serious question. But when I started talking, were you like, that's a Spoutcast
guy? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love that.
He just lost it.
That is so funny. That is so funny. I told Cam that. I said, I think what just happened is they didn't know who I was, and I didn't know who you guys was, and then I started talking, and immediately, because you said immediately after I spoke, are you this bad? I love these guys, man. You guys got to come on the show every week. My self-esteem goes up times 10.
Man, even when he told you that he liked the episode that you weren't even on.
I could care less. We got fans.
No. I love them all, honestly, though. But they're really good. Awesome. They're really, really good.
So you sent me this email this past week, and I could keep going. He loves the photos that we post from Instagram.
Yeah, good. I thought it was a good choice to start that.
Wait, do you have an Instagram?
No, I don't. I see it on Facebook.
Okay.
Oh, got it.
So he loves the photos, and he likes that. And he says, you know, he basically said, after a week of no Spoutcast being in serious withdrawals, I actually re-listened to like 10 episodes just to make up for it. So that means you're like a mega fan, okay?
Wow.
Well, I have a desk job, so all I do all day for like 8 or 10 hours is sit down at a desk.
Yeah.
And I have plenty of time to listen to all the episodes.
And speaking
and then some.
Of your job, You mentioned a little bit of this on the email. Is this the same job you do, or this is totally different?
It's totally different.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like
this is a
hobby.
Spare time thing.
It's a hobby.
What do you do? Where are you at?
I'm an engineer for
PG&E. Oh, yeah.
PG&E.
That's right. We already talked about this. PG&E. And you're at PG&E as well, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys basically sent me this email and it essentially said, hey, we refinished doing this website for Hope Rises Africa. And it just so happened that I emailed you back and said, hey, would you like to get on the show? And then we kind of like through a random series of events, I was like, can you guys be on the show today? Would that work? So I hope it's
that's
not
so
like
so cool you guys are available today.
Yeah.
Actually, it's because we have no life actually. So that's
his doctor's appointment.
That's true. No. I did.
He's like, we don't get out of there until 3:30 and no, we gotta make it.
Awesome. That's so great.
Love it.
That's true.
So this is kind of one of the reasons why I wanted to talk with you guys is you guys are, you guys created the website Hope Rises Africa, right? Or didn't create it, but redesigned it.
Redesigned it. They had one that was kind of up and running already. The organization started in, I think, 06.
Okay.
And so they kind of had a, kind of like a homemade website and never really had an IT guy or web guy. Because they just couldn't afford it.
And so did you guys get contracted by them, or how does that work?
No. He's our life group leader. And
okay.
He,
Matt Roper.
Matt Roper.
Yes.
He talks about it all the time, and we do fundraising for them with our life group.
Mm.
And we actually have a missions trip coming up, and some people from the life group are going on that missions trip.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, that's how we got involved with it, in it, and yeah.
So what is Hope Rises Africa? Because you guys just create their website, so you would be the best spokespeople on it, correct? Debbie?
That
you want to do it,
Debbie? They're just pointing at each other.
She's a little shy, sorry.
Nah, okay. She's great.
Yeah, Hope Rises Africa is a organization that works in Swaziland, Africa.
Okay.
Which is on the southeastern part of Africa. It's about 4 hours north of Johannesburg. And it happens to be the world's, I don't know how to say this, but like the number one AIDS rate in the world, basically. Mm-hmm. So I know we can all relate to this because we're all in our 20s, right? So over 50% of the adults in their 20s have AIDS, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So they just went there on a missions trip in 2006. I don't know if it was with the well or not, but
maybe.
They decided to, Corinne, who's the main person in the field there, she's the main missionary. She actually quit her job.
Wow.
She has her MBA. She had a really well-paying job here and just couldn't come back to it after seeing what was in Africa. So she just quit, lives over there now. And so...
Now, as far as like you guys, you hear from Matt Roper and Matt tells you, hey, we got this organization and it does this. And you guys obviously caught the vision and now you're like, hey, we're going to pour our time into this website and all of the above. But somebody on the outside who maybe doesn't have those skills, how can they, if they were to go to this website, what is an area that they can get involved or how can they get involved? And maybe walk us through somebody's experience on the website. You know what I mean? What should they check out? Where should they go to? How would they learn even more about it?
You're asking a lot of questions.
Well,
answer them all. Go.
See what I have to deal with every day.
I know.
Every Monday.
Go ahead, Danny.
Okay.
I digress.
Keep
going. Anyways, sorry.
What was the question?
No, I got about 20 of them in my pocket.
Areas of volunteer areas.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So first of all, what we really want to get out there is child sponsorships. Before, the way they used to do it is literally by mail.
Mm.
And the only way people would know that there were children to be sponsored was by word of mouth.
Mm.
If somebody knew somebody that knew, hey, there's this organization that they need sponsors for children.
Right.
So now what we've done is we've put all those children online and that you can completely sponsor children online. You can write to them. They can write to you. Just like, I don't know if, I'm sure you've heard of World Vision and Compassion.
Sure. Yeah.
Kind of the same thing is what we wanted to set up. So that way, you know, sponsors can be in touch with their kids, send them gifts, send them pictures and things like that. So you can go on the website and for $35 a month.
Dollar a day, pretty much.
Dollar a day, pretty much. What we do is our main focus is with children. We have four teachers in two different towns, basically.
Okay.
That we built, I think, we're working on our third preschool now. So we need sponsors to be able to feed those children, clothe them. We have nurses and doctors there that do monthly health checkups. And yeah.
Basically. I like that there's that personal, like, mm-hmm. you can write a letter, and it feels, it's more of a, like, personal connection than just, like, hey, I'll just send my $35 every month, just, you know what I mean? So that's cool.
Right, and that's what we really wanted to do is to develop that relationship. And honestly, we're going there. The missions trip we have coming up is in October, and all those kids that have sponsors are going to be there. So we actually sponsor a kid.
Okay.
And we're going to get to see the child that we sponsor, you know, so it's going to be really cool. You know, yeah. It's going to be cool to go there and meet his, or meet her, I think.
So. Yeah. And we're going to buy a Polaroid. They recommend buying a Polaroid.
Oh, that's that so way, cool.
You
can
take a picture of yourself, but you take a picture and you can give it to them.
Yeah. Oh, that's so neat.
So, as far as the website goes, you did, we were talking about this off air, but you did kind of the backside of the website, right? Mm-hmm. So you're kind of the nuts and bolts of the whole thing.
Yes.
And Debbie, your role in it was what again?
The graphics, the look of it.
The feel of it. I went on it today. It looks great. So you guys did I don't know how I can tell if the code looks good, but.
right. That's.
Hey, I'll say this. I found the website feedback button in about 5 seconds. So I always go there because I was going to try and see if your contact info was on there, but it wasn't. Because I was like, oh, how do I call him and ask him? Because I don't know.
How did you do it?
Well, I ended up getting your email.
Right.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right.
I just didn't know if you were going to respond quick enough.
Yeah.
So
I always have my email up at work.
Okay, like, good.
We were talking about getting you on the show today, and he said, yeah, I'll check with them. And then literally 30 seconds later, he said, he's gonna get back to me. I'm like, whoa, BFF? Or like, what happened? Speed he dial. Said, we're bros.
Hey, man, we're Discovery Bros.
We are.
Your response was lightning quick.
You know, it's kind of funny that you mentioned about the Discovery and how we met, because that's kind of how it's been at the well for us since we've been here. Literally that first Sunday that we were here, I don't know who it was. I think it was PJ, actually, that, you know, called all the life group leaders up there on stage.
Okay, yeah.
At the North Campus. I think it was 11 o'clock service.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you guys came around November, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it would have been PJ.
It was PJ, yeah. I believe it was. But anyways, he called all the life group leaders up there that had like vacancies, I guess you could say, in their life groups.
Yeah.
And Matt just kind of happened to be one of them. Mm-hmm. And after the service, we went and talked to them. And, you know, we were there at life group the first Tuesday that they met. So it was pretty awesome.
And it's crazy even how God has just now, through that process, even instilled this heart for now, this organization. You're sponsoring a kid. You're going to get to see this kid. And it's like, it's crazy to think that just through one life group, your heart can begin to shift towards something, and you meet a guy who's got a passion about something. You're doing their website now. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just so cool, those stories you hear over time, just like at the well or even at other churches, just like, I came to church one week and now I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And it's like, so you guys like being at the well? It's a good, healthy place for you guys?
We literally felt at home the first Sunday we were there.
Good.
We got lucky too, because we were there when Brad was live at North Campus. So it was awesome. We just like looked at each other after the service and we were like, this is it.
Good.
This is it. So
Have you guys really been to a video service now?
Yeah.
Is that all right? Yeah. Are you guys all right with it?
Yeah, it's cool. It's a little weird at first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I know a lot of other churches do it, like John Piper's church does it in, I think it's Wisconsin. Maryland. Anyway, somewhere in the Michigan. Really cold areas, Midwest.
Midwest.
But anyways, so it's not, you know, it's a really cool concept. And I think it's definitely the way church should be, because now that we're here and we see how it works, I think all large churches should be this way.
Mm. That's cool. Encouraging.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If only Brad would listen, he could hear that.
You know. Brad Bell did like us on Facebook last week.
So, what?
Darlene. Nice. Yeah, we don't know if he did it personally or if his assistant did it for him, but I'm taking it like he did it personally.
Now,
I have a question.
Yes.
Where'd you guys move from?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We moved from Modesto.
Modesto? I'm from Tracy.
Nice.
Rep in the 209.
Nice. Nice.
Holler.
Yeah.
They're probably more bros than you guys are, Christian.
Yeah, Christian, take that. Are you guys originally from Modesto?
That's no.
I thought you said you're from Romania.
Oh.
Yeah. Or your family's
from Romania. Our families are. We're the first generation here. Our families came over as political refugees back in the early 80s. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Escaping communism and all that good stuff.
How old are you guys? Is that a personal question? No?
I'll be 29 okay. in November. Yeah.
Cool.
And same thing?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I know.
No, you
Thanks
guys.
For pointing that out, though. I already feel old. It's awesome.
I just like.
I'm 27.
All right. Okay. I just have gray hair, and I'm just
Christian's
like,
the baby.
I am the young one in here.
He's 24.
Yeah. 25. Thanks for remembering my birthday.
What? Wait, are you 24?
25. No, I'm 25.
Okay.
All right. I really appreciate you guys being here. Like, yeah, I know it was last so minute, cool. but why don't we throw out the website one more time?
Sure.
Go
it's,
for it.
It's hoperisesafrica.org. If you guys want to go on there, sponsor a kid. We also have a missions trip coming up, and you can volunteer. We have a couple fundraisers also. We're doing a car wash at Clovis West.
Okay.
On May 20th.
I saw that.
There was,
a little banner for it, a little graphic. Yeah,
yeah,
I saw that.
Yeah.
Okay.
May 20th, that's coming up. So if you guys, that's a Sunday.
This Sunday.
And all the proceeds go towards Hope Rises Africa. Actually, what we're doing right now is we're trying to raise about $8,000 to ship over a container full of medical supplies.
Okay.
I think we have about $1 million or $1.5 million worth of medical supplies that we need to ship over in a huge crate. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
So May 20th at Clovis West, bring your cars, get a car wash, donate, and that's where it goes towards. It goes towards sending these medical supplies.
It goes towards that. We also have physicals going on June 6th.
In Africa, kids going to get a physical.
Here. It's another fundraiser that we're doing. Matt Roper is really involved in like sports and things like that. So it's like a sports physical. Or if you're an elderly
that is
person.
A really cool way of doing something.
Yeah. $10. So you can't beat it. $10. We'll have doctors and nurses there doing physicals. So
and when is that again? Sorry.
June 6th.
June 6th.
So June 6th from 6 to 9.
Are these dates on the website?
Yes.
Cool. I would encourage everybody, go check out the website just to see their work, but also get some information on the cause, the organization. There's a button on there. I forget what it's called. It's like, what are we about? Or, you know, like, here's the organization in a nutshell. There's a button that says that.
Right.
I don't remember what it said. And then outside of that, you can get more information on these fundraisers and whatnot. So hoperisesafrica.org.
Yes.
And Danny, Debbie, how was your experience here on the Spoutcast?
It was awesome.
1 to 5. Debbie?
Definitely a 5.
All right.
Awesome.
Yay. I'm telling you, fans are what make this show. And
for
so
sure.
I want to try and get as many fans on the show as possible. And so thank you guys for coming. I hope you guys would come back.
Definitely.
So, all right. Next time we'll talk about books. Is that fair?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
This guy still.
He'll just chat the whole time.
Nice. All right. See, we have the same problem, you and I.
All right. Up next, we've got some announcements, and Sarah you and Jane will beat me to closing out the show. That's what
we'll happen. I'll close out the show this time.
All right. Stay tuned.
You guys don't let me.
I didn't want you around. All those pretty faces always make you stand out in the crowd. But someone picked you from the bunch. One glance was all it took. Now it's much too late for me to go and take.
All right, welcome back. We've got an exciting episode for you guys next week. It will be episode 57, and we're going to have the Battle of the Superfans. Currently right now on our website, which probably nobody checks, but it does say that our superfan is Sarah Roby.
Catherine Roby.
I just have started to think, you know, Jeremiah's a fan, and he's been a fan for a long time, and I think that he has some knowledge, and he was on the show. He's been on the show more times than Sarah has, and Sarah doesn't live here. Jeremiah's really turned more people onto the Spoutcast than maybe Sarah has.
I don't think that's entirely true. I mean,
well, we're gonna find this out, right?
She's probably told most of Santa Cruz to listen.
So we're gonna have a battle of the super fans next week.
It's also Sarah's birthday this week.
Yeah,
so we can celebrate on.
We're gonna celebrate her birthday.
Okay.
And then we'll also, I'm going to come up with some trivia questions.
Great.
And if you've been a fan of the Spoutcast over the last couple year, you're going to know some of these questions, but we're going to see how well they know the questions. So if you have any questions for us to ask them, email thespoutpodcast@gmail.com.
That's a great idea, Christian.
But I'm going to come up with like maybe 20 and then we'll see how long it goes. But it'll be should it be questions like, who did we interview on episode 23? Or should it be...
That's difficult.
I feel like that's too difficult. Or should it be during our top three people we'd most like to have dinner with, who was Christian's person he'd most like to have dinner with?
Yeah.
And then they would go, Jimmy Fallon.
And you can have, if they don't get it, give a multiple choice.
Should I do multiple choice or it should be like first, like Jeopardy, you first answer?
Give them a chance to answer if they know it. And if neither of them know it, then give them the multiple choice.
Okay. And now do you guys want to just like, who do you think is going to win?
Oh, I think Sarah Roby. I'm sorry, Jeremiah.
Probably Sarah Roby. Sorry.
Oh, I guess I have to go with Jeremiah. Here's why I think Jeremiah. Jeremiah has a kind of a weird memory. Where he'll remember things like, and we'll be having a conversation. He's like, oh, you said that on the Spout. You know what I mean? So Jeremiah plays it down like he's not like the biggest fan anymore. Like he's still a fan. But like I think Jeremiah secretly deep down inside, like he still loves and is a super fan of the Spoutcast. So I say Jeremiah wins.
Okay. But we do have to talk about this tier thing that we just did.
Yes. Because Danny was just on the show.
Yeah, he was.
I just interrupted Jane.
Chipotle. Oh,
you're owing both of us Chipotle because you did interrupt
last
session.
We just had Danny on the show, and we have deemed Danny mega fan because he writes in all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He listens to all the episodes.
More than once.
Right. He caught up over a course since November.
Yeah, like he went back and listened all the way back to episode one.
And he has used the Spoutcast to help him feel plugged into the well.
For sure.
Now, the one reason why I think he's disqualified from the trivia contest is because the information is very fresh in his mind. Versus Jeremiah and Sarah, it's like the long haul. It's like the trivia after a year and a half.
But we did say that Jeremiah and Sarah can re-listen to episodes. So technically, that is not an argument.
You're right. Jane, you're right.
They have 1 week to re-listen to episodes, but
their unless choice. They have been re-listening.
Well, let's just see who the super fan is. And then the winner of this, they can take on Danny at some point.
Yes! Watch out, Danny.
All right. So, Sarah, why don't you give us some announcements, if there is any, and then we'll go from there.
Tri-tip sales. I guess tri-tip sales have already happened. If you bought a tri-tip meal, plan on grabbing it after your service this Sunday. And I think all the campuses are eating lunch together after service, their tri-tip meal. So plan on doing that. Yes.
But it's the service that you specified you were picking it up
at. Yes. Yep. So if you said you're going to pick it up after the first service, you have to pick it up after the first service.
Yes.
Discovery is this Saturday, and it's not too late to sign up. If you want to get to know more about the well and go to Brad's class called Discovery. I don't know why I called it Brad's class. That was weird. But you get breakfast and lunch, and we'd love to have you sign up online.
This will be Jane's first
my first
Discovery
official
as staff.
Discovery.
Do you get to be the MC?
No, not I. They asked me if I wanted to, but I said that I'll do the next one.
Okay, that's a good idea.
June 30th.
Cool.
I'm not coming to that one, so just kidding. Right. No, but you're going to do great, Jane. You're good on the mic. You really are. Thank you. Any other announcements?
Not that I can think of.
All right. Well, hey, stay tuned for next week. And if you know the answers to the questions, like play along with us. Maybe everybody's going to skip through this segment, but I'm going to re-listen and I'm going to have fun with it. So you guys excited for next week?
Yeah, totally. We are.
Sarah, if you're listening, if you lose, you're going to disappoint two people in this room. Oh, so
Sarah.
This is Spout. We're out. Got it.
Oh, my gosh.
Just kidding.
We had the conversation.
Just kidding. Just kidding. Hey, check us out on Instagram and
and Facebook and Twitter. Mm-hmm. This is The Spout, and we're out.
We're out.
What?
You think your dreams are the same.